We are going to start with news of cycling and the 2021 Tour de France, the 108th edition of probably the sport's most famous race, will start this coming weekend. And I think we've been spoiled in recent years in terms of the Irish interest which existed. I think there had been a lot of expectation that Nicholas Roach would have been part of it. That hasn't proven to be the case. Sam Bennett obviously was listed to compete. He had to withdraw through injury and then had to endure some fairly comprehensive and damning comments from his team manager over the last couple of days, which he no doubt will discuss in time. But it means that the Irish eyes this weekend will be on Dan Martin, and certainly over the course of the next couple of weeks. He is preparing for his 18th Grand Tour, his 9th Tour de France in all. He was kind enough early on, the team are meeting up this evening to finalise their preparations for what lies ahead. He was kind enough to take a call off us earlier. I began by asking him, when you have the experience that he has in terms of partaking in these big races, do you still get nervous? Is it just purely business-like, or is that the jitters, that nervous anticipation, still part of the build-up 48 hours out?
I think, of course, you never know what's... It's always an anxious... Especially the first week, there's always a lot of nerves around, and it really hits home the magnitude of the event once we head to the team presentation, which is obviously this evening. And yeah, it makes you realise, just especially for the guys who haven't been here before, I think that it really hits home how big this global event is, you know. And but yeah, obviously I've got a lot of experience now, and it is a little bit different, because when you go into those first tours, you never know what to expect, and it does take you by surprise. It's very, very different to every other bike race that we ride, just because of the level of attention you have, the number of people that are watching this race, and just the sheer number of media, and obviously now with COVID, there's a lot more limitations as far as what we're exposed to. But it's still a huge, huge event, and the pressure within the team, from sponsors, everything, it's just more than we ever experienced in the rest of the season.
How fine is the balancing act then between focusing on it as intently as you need to do and also being able to enjoy what I know for you, you must have exceeded any expectation you've had in terms of the number of tours you've been a part of. But for a lot of guys, it's a very limited opportunity to be in the biggest race that your sport possesses.
Exactly. Now, I think I approach the race very different mindset now, because I have that experience, and I almost feel like I have nothing to prove. And it's a case of I can enjoy the race much more, because one, I know what's coming, I know what to expect, but that also enables me to race better and hopefully get better results, because I understand how this race works. And but yeah, for sure, I mean, this is now my 9th tour. It's been just thrown by, to be honest. It doesn't feel like I've done 9 Tour de France. Even as soon as you get here and you're in this atmosphere and you feel the nervousness around the team, just the anticipation to try and do the best we can, it's a real buzz to be here again. And there's no feeling like it riding the Tour de France. And yeah, obviously it's something that I'm still very fortunate to have been a part of so many times.
Are you nostalgic? Like, would you have the jerseys from the old tours or the Grand Tour races around the place, or maybe the ones that you wore to win stages in those races? Or are you still at that point in your life where you're firmly looking at what you still want to achieve rather than what's gone on in the past?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it nostalgic, but I do keep all my jerseys, and especially the days that I won, I have them still with numbers on the backs. And I think it's always been something that I will look back at potentially in later in my life. But right now, obviously, I'm still as hungry as ever to get further results and just do my job. And it's also a case of just enjoying it. I mean, I love racing my bike, so it's not about... I never really look back. I think as a cyclist, as an athlete in general, in sports, if you look back, you don't enjoy this experience. You get complacent if you've had success, or if you've had a bad day, you look back and it can drag your morale down, you know. So I think especially in cycling, even if you win at the Tour de France, you don't really get to enjoy it in the moment, because you've got a stage the next day as well, and you have to really almost forget about the victory and just refocus for the next stage immediately. So it's definitely something that, yeah, obviously I'll enjoy maybe in a few years, and I've hung the wheels up, but it's right now about focusing and just getting on with it. But also, as I said, understanding exactly what I need to do to get results.
So just in terms of this year and when you convene with the team later on this evening and you're looking at the plan for the coming days, like a lot of people are already talking about the second stage being a Dan Martin stage. Like, how does the landscape work in terms of how far ahead you're planning with this race? And obviously where you fit into the overall list of priorities for Israel Startup this time around?
This year is a little bit different for myself because of obviously just completing the Giro and having a very strong race there. I don't really know where I'm at. I feel really good, but you don't know where how much fatigue is in the body still. So, yeah, we're going to take it day by day. And obviously, I've won on the same finish line as stage two 3 years ago, but I also think that cycling is, and I personally have changed quite a bit since then. I've become much more of a climber and the sport has become much more competitive with that type of rider who can do well at that stage finish. So, yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't really have any expectations for the first few days. I think the main objective for me will be to ride through the first week safely, stay out of trouble. And the time, like that's what we said for the team already, any time that I lose is, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. You know, it's about just getting my legs back again, get my legs used to racing again and preparing for the mountain stages that lie ahead, because there are a lot of opportunities for me to win a stage. That's my main goal for this race, to try and win a stage, because the team's never won one before and I'm potentially the best candidate in the team to do that. So yeah, I'll have full support on the days that I choose to really target. But it's a strange thing because it's been a long, long time since I went into a Tour de France, not even considering the general classification. Mm. And it's, I'm not sure how I'm going to feel losing time those first few days, but obviously I'm not going to lose time on purpose, but it's also sometimes quite nice not to have to really be involved in that huge battle for position, and it's going to be an incredibly stressful first few days, and I think I can actually save a lot of energy that I can use later in the race if I lose a little bit of time. So don't be surprised to see me losing a few... a bit of time in the first few days. It's all part of the plan.
Is there much pressure then to win a stage, or is that just part and parcel of what it is you do? Do you embrace that sense of expectation that might rest on your shoulders from the team?
I think it shows them level on that, but it's not. They believe in me, you know, and I've done it before. I've raced well at the Giro, and I definitely have the potential to win another stage at the Tour de France. So it doesn't feel like pressure because I think we have a lovely atmosphere here, and I think that, I know that as long as I give my all and do my best, that they'll be happy. Obviously, we'd love to win a stage. If it doesn't happen, yeah, we're just going to be proud that we've given it our all, and that'll always be the case.
Just in terms of the preparation, and you're talking there about, you know, settling into the race and seeing where it is you're at then perhaps at the end of the first week. Like on paper, looking at the trials and tribulations that are going to be on your shoulders physically over the coming month or so, and what you've had to endure in the Giro, which only finished 4 weeks ago, how do you balance the sense of trying to get your body back in shape but also being in the physical condition that you need to be ahead of the Tour? Is that a very difficult balancing act?
It's especially tricky because I've never done it before.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really a learning process. And yeah, it's been, I've obviously got a very good coach who's, he pushed me pretty hard in places in the last 4 weeks. But it's a good relationship we have as far as I was getting a lot of feedback. And yeah, I was completely broken after that Giro. I was completely exhausted. But you can't just put your feet up and sit on the sofa. You know, you do have to keep riding. You do have to keep doing a little bit of training. So we trained quite hard last week. And then the last few days, I've really, last weekend, although I'm feeling really strong, I still felt a little bit of fatigue in the body. So I've taken it really easy the last few days. But yeah, as you say, it's been a tricky balancing act. And that's why I'm not really too, it's not that I'm pessimistic for the opening stages, but I have no idea how I would feel. You know, it's a really unknown. I'm expecting to suffer quite a bit in the first few days, but then at the end of the day, the Giro was almost like a very, very hard training camp. So that's what I'm looking at it as. all of the competitors here at the Tour de France would have done really hard training camps in May as well, and but not as hard as what I did. So as long as my body's recovered properly, I should have really, really good condition to be able to really go all into the stage victory. Mm.
But it is a new challenge, and particularly at 34 years of age and the amount of miles you've put the legs through over the years. Not to say is it as uncertain a tour as you've started into, but it's probably the most unique challenge that you will face into in terms of bouncing straight from one Grand Tour into the other Grand Tour.
It was calculated, actually, because we did the tour before. I had an incredible Vuelta de España last year. Mm. I finished fourth in the Vuelta after just completing the tour. And it was a very similar, it was 4 weeks in between, and I even raced in between those two races. But the difference was, obviously, I did the Tour de France, starting with injury, and obviously finishing way down in the classification, you know. So that's where it was it's different, the fact that I raced to the general classification in the Giro, and I went a lot deeper than I did at the Tour de France. So, yeah, I mean, it's a new challenge. It's one that I've embraced, but it's something that we calculated as a team could be really beneficial. And it feels like it's done me good. You know, I feel really strong at the moment, but it just depends. That's why we're not going to aim for the general classification, because I think that would be very tricky. But I think the Giro would have given me good enough condition to be able to really hopefully do something special.
But I'm just looking back through it, you know, like a 10th place finish in the Giro, you know, you've mentioned there 6th, 8th and 9th place finishes in the Tour, 7th in the Vuelta, 4th in the Vuelta, as you've just touched upon, all the stage wins over the years. Like, when you do give yourself that moment to maybe look back on all that you've achieved, have you significantly eclipsed any journey that you thought this great sport would have taken you on?
I entered into the sport not really with any expectation. It's not my... I never had any dreams, or I think that comes down to obviously my family with my Uncle Stephen, you know, it's going to be doing what he did. It's being successful in this sport was almost something that was quite normal. You know, it was just a case of being a professional and doing as well as I could do, you know, and that's what I've been quite proud of, you know. I've just done, I give my all every day, and yeah. Somehow I managed to come away with all these incredible results in my career, but it's something that I've never rested on. I've kind of never really thought about it, and I just I think it's important to not let it change you as well in that respect. But also, like I said, you don't want to be complacent. If you sit back and say, "Oh, well, when all these races, I'm just going to," you stop working as hard, you know. So I always move on very quickly, whether it's a defeat or it's a victory, and and refocus, and then move on to the next challenge. Because at the end of the day, I just enjoy racing my bike, and that's the. It's not. It doesn't matter if you. I can't control the results. I just need to do my best every day, and the result depends on how good the other guys. Fortunately, in my career, I've managed to enjoy a certain amount of success, but hopefully, it's not over yet.
Now, well, and speaking of going from challenge to challenge, I was just looking at the calendar. The Tour de France, all going well, is going to take you up until the 18th of July. And then if my maths is right, you've got a little over a week before the run into the men's road race in the Olympics. Is there a chance we could see you in Tokyo in the Irish singlet?
Under a week, actually. I think it's 5 days, which is pretty insane, you know. But that's also the advantage of not riding the general classification, because the last 3 days in the Tour de France this year are, if you're not pushing for the general classification, you can take it a little bit easier. And hopefully I'll be on the plane to Tokyo and be really trying to get a big result there. I mean, the course suits me. I think I'm very much a medal contender. The hope is that the Tour de France gives me the form and the condition, as long as we can recover properly. Obviously, there's a huge challenge there, but to be able to get over the jet lag and really keep the body going to be competitive. But I think the majority of the men's road race will have competed in the Tour de France. So it's just going to be a case of who's prepared better and who's recovered better. And I think hopefully my experience of racing so many Grand Tours and so it will for general classification and not doing it this year will enable me to finish the Tour a little bit fresher than the other guys.
Just in a bizarre one, does it get easier every year you do it because you have that knowledge of how to get there, or does it get that bit more difficult because you've an extra year's toil on your body?
I think it's easier because you do, as you say, you do know what to expect and you know how hard you can push each day without really emptying the tank, you know. But it also, I think, it enables me. I've definitely learned the past year or so that my experience is helping me read the race much better, and that means you can. Yeah, I've been obviously that helped in the Giro, being able to control the breakaway and beating those breakaways as well. You kind of tactically, I've definitely improved, and with the way my training has been going and improvements in nutrition, man, I'm feeling stronger than ever. So that's everybody else is the same. The races are so much harder and faster than they were a few years ago because everybody has stepped up their game, and it's effectively like Formula One now. Everybody's counting on every single little detail, and we're all pushing our bodies to the maximum, you know. So it's I wouldn't say it's easier because it's still the same fatigue, the same effort, but it's mentally, I think. And I think the mental challenge of a Grand Tour is probably the biggest thing, the most important thing, that it's that ability to focus and stay concentrated, and that's something that's for the whole 3 weeks, and that's something that I'll definitely improve on. So that's what, you know, it definitely helps.
But before I let you go, it's such a great time for Irish cycling, both, you know, track cycling, road race, the amount of new young talent that's coming through. It's almost a shame in a way that it's you know, all the Irish eyes are going to fall on you. It's a pity we don't have more Irish, cyclists prominent and present in the Tour this year, but you'll happily take all the accolades and the focus.
Oh yeah, it's a little bit added pressure, isn't it? You know, obviously incredibly unfortunate for Sam got injured, I think, just before the race, and obviously he would normally have been here defending his green jersey, you know. So yeah, and then we see it, like, obviously Eddie Dunbar getting the best young rider in Tour of Switzerland, you know. It's he's definitely improving year by year, and he's coming through. So yeah, we're in a great position at the moment, and for such a small country, I think we've got an incredible representation in the world of cycling. So it's hopefully cycling as a sport can be successful in Tokyo especially, and inspire a few more kids to get on bikes.
Dan, we wish you well. Stay safe, get round in one piece, and look forward to following your progress with great success, hopefully, in the coming weeks. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Do it. Play that again. The sound.
That's Dan Martin chatting there, always very, very accommodating with his time. I just looking at the schedule, I don't know about the rest of you, but to go from the Grand Tour into from the Giro, one Grand Tour into the Tour de France, another Grand Tour in 3 weeks, and then have the possibility of finishing the Tour de France in Paris on a Sunday, and then 5 years later having to hop through whatever number of time zones to compete at the Tokyo Olympics. He is a better man than I.